people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars, keep fighting, driving about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight inside me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a hard fight. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight inside of me. Yeah, walking on the fight inside me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought to die keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warning. And you're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight inside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fight inside of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and of course, all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, it would be hard to have been alive in North America, or at least to have had CNN on the past 48 hours and not have known about the events in Charlottesville, Virginia. I've got to say the reaction of President Trump leaves me as one of his strong supporters just a little bit disappointed. Tell you what happened in Charlottesville is a disgrace, badly reported by much of the American mainstream media. In fact, I was watching CNN, and I know, of course, it's poison, but what it reported. Well, if you were following it on Saturday, you saw the same clip, short clips, of people fighting. You were never told who they were. You're told about white supremacists, Ku Klux Klansmen, neo-Nazis, and so on. But the people, you were not told who was fighting whom. There were some American flags, some Confederate flags, and some white nationalist flags as well. But it was a masterpiece of non-reporting. Just what's happening there? Well, we weren't told what was happening. I'll tell you, in point of fact, what did happen. Over 6,000, well, actually, there were two events. There was a Torchlight Parade through the University of Virginia on Friday night. Very impressive. On Saturday, the white nationalists had promised to gather at the statue of General Robert E. Lee, which the scallywag city of Charlottesville proposed to take down. It's a symbol of white culture. Not all white people, of course, but an integral part of American history. Nobody denies that Robert E. Lee was a great general and a man worthy of being commemorated. But it's part of the attempt to roll back our culture, steal our culture, denigrate our culture, that there's been this orgy of efforts over the last decade, but speeding up after those 9 Negro churchgoers were shot by Dylan Roof in 2015 in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, none of that had anything to do with Robert E. Lee or the Confederate flag. Apparently, Dylan Roof did have a Confederate flag. He may have also had an American flag. He didn't do it in the name of the Confederacy, but even if he had. But slimy politicians on both sides, including Nikki Haley, who's now Trump's ambassador to the UN, betrayed the white cause. Well, I'm not surprised, but Nikki Haley, she's not white. She's an East Indian. She's actually a Sikh. I know she converted to Christianity, or supposedly did, but she visited India a few years ago, put on a sari with one of these old veil type things over the head, and said that it was her culture. Yeah, well, I get it. It's her culture. White culture is not her culture, and perhaps she had no trouble betraying it, but she did. But she's not the only one. So the white nationalists marched, were to march to the monument for Robert E. Lee, and they were standing for a number of things, wanting to take America back for our people, standing up proudly for our people, for Europeans, whites to be quite blunt about it, and there are many grievances. The establishment organized invasion of our country, of our countries, actually, the United States and Canada. And its establishment, it's the elite of both parties. It is the replacement of the European founding settler people, largely because of third world immigration, not because of the growing black population. Blacks have changed their share of the general population by exactly 1% since John F. Kennedy was elected president in 1961, or I should say became president in 1961. Blacks then were 10% of the United States, today they're 11%. It's not the growing black population, it is the growing third world population. We didn't lose a war, or at least we didn't lose a shooting war. They pour across the border, they fly in through the international airports, and they are cheered on and encouraged by politicians of both major parties. It's not even something you can lay entirely at the feet of the Democrats. Our population is being changed. Do white people not have a legitimate interest and say, well, maybe you might ask, or why don't we have a discussion about it? You're a white supremacist, you're a Nazi, you're a racist. In my opinion, that doesn't cut it. Doesn't cut it one little bit. A storm of abuse is not the same thing as an answer. It's not an answer. And that's what we've had for years. Well, now things have begun to change a little bit. Donald Trump was elected. Donald Trump took a strong stand on some immigration issues. And, you've got to be quite clear about that, on some immigration issues. And for that, of course, we want to give him tremendous credit for courage and for foresight. And he, despite the obstruction of the courts, the act of efforts sabotage his executive orders, Donald Trump has succeeded in curtailing a lot of the immigration across the Mexican border, and for that too, a great deal of credit needs to go to him. In fact, I think many people in Mexico have kind of taken a look at the lay of the land and determined, maybe this is not the time to sneak up into the United States. For that, good. However, having said that, it is deeply disappointing to see what many politicians had to say, and of course what the president had to say. Already on Saturday, there were near hysterical calls for the president to denounce the supposedly white supremacists and the Ku Klux Klan and the alt-right, and there are actually many groups there. Donald Trump did make a denunciation of bigotry, which could mean various things. I would hope that he doesn't consider standing up for Southern rights, standing up for American history, standing up for white pride as bigotry. I don't know. That's the problem with vague denunciations. And he went on to say, on all sides. Well, that's set off a further storm of media-induced hysteria. That's not enough. There's got to be condemnation by name of these groups. They must be disowned. They must, and so on. What Trump, I think, was saying in those early hours, there appears to be fighting between various groups, and you can, of course, easily condemn violence. That's certainly proper. And he was suggesting there was blame on many sides. He was right. And the truth is, the authorities, in connivance with the police, did everything they could to sabotage and to shut down the march. So the first venue was canceled, and then the protesters were to the 6,000 strong were to march rally in another park. What the police did was to force them. They couldn't just enter the park in it from any direction. They were forced to enter through one approach, which took them right past the crazy Antifa, that's anti-fascists, or the professional anti-racists, probably George Soros funded, who at first greeted them with curses and verbal abuse and so on, which I suppose is part of the game. But then it became violent, and they started hitting them with weapons, throwing bags of urine, bags of excrement, missiles, and so on. And the fight was on. Now, then the police, which provided very little protection for the white marchers, then had an excuse to invoke a state of emergency. Now, the only state of emergency was the utter inability and unwillingness of the police to keep law and order. It'd be entirely proper to keep the two sides apart, anti-racist over on that side of the street and the white nationalists on this side of the street. However, in the reporting on CNN, which at times reached the point of near hysteria, there was a total condemnation of the white supremacists, the white nationalists, the Klan, neo-Nazis, no part in America. The governor of Virginia said that the white supremacism and white nationalism have no part in America. I see, but black nationalism does. Jewish supremacism, support of the state of Israel does. The disproportionate representation of Jews in positions of in academe, in the media, and so on, it does. But white nationalism, and what's white nationalism?
Well, it's basically pride in the fact that you're European, and pride in the fact that Europe, that essentially America is a European creation. The laws, the language, the culture, the whole thing. And that has no place in America. Appalling. But he wasn't the only one. McAuliffe, he's a Democrat. But there's a wide range of people who denounced it, including, most pathetically, this desiccated ancient octogenarian Orrin Hatch. Now, Orrin Hatch has been a senator from Utah. He's now the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's been there for ages. In fact, when he first came to Washington, a then young British journalist friend of mine, Peter Brimelow, went down to the United States to be a member of his staff. And Peter, of course, soon went on to other things. He's now, of course, the head of VDARE. You should check that out, VDARE.com, great immigration reform website. Anyway, he, point being that in those days, Orrin Hatch was considered a real conservative. Well, he showed his true colors. He tweeted over the weekend that this was to be condemned, that he had not lost a brother to fighting Nazism to see them in the United States today. You know, to equate white nationalism with National Socialism is unfair. Most of those protesters there, those 6,000 strong, mostly young whites under the banner of Albright, were not National Socialists. But to want to condemn them for a peaceful protest, a largely peaceful protest, and we'll leave aside the ramming of some of the Antifa by a car apparently driven by a member of the one white nationalist groups. There's a lot that yet has to come out about that. Was this an attempt to maim and injure? Well, if so, it was wrong. Did he lose control of this car? We don't know. It would be entirely fair to condemn all violence. I go for that. But it was clear from so many of both Republicans, like Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, and others, and of course the voluble Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who's not an immigration reformer, it becomes clear why the political establishment in Washington has done so poorly to defend the interests of whites. Because they want to defend the interests of whites. Get it? Your country club Republicans, who may have gingerly courted the white vote with it on issues like law and order and so on, and for by and large were quite okay with mass third world immigration. They were really quite okay with an agenda that blames whites. Hello, I'm doing my show. I'll call you back. They're quite okay with that. In fact, these country club Republicans, with left-wing Democrats, basically only quarreled over peripheral things, like, okay, what should the, how much taxes should be collected? The country club Republicans would like fewer taxes. Okay, understandable. I probably agree with them. The Democrats, to pay for their wild spending, would probably want more. Democrats would like to regulate everything. The country club Republicans would want less regulation. I'm not saying there were no other differences, but the differences were slight. About the population change in the United States, and that's what it is, the replacement of the European founding settler people, this aggression, this racist aggression against white people, almost nothing was to be heard from Democrats or Republicans. There's the odd exception. Governor Lamb, a Democrat, a former governor of Colorado, did write some good material about the carrying capacity of the land, and that's good as far as it went. There was Tom Tancredo, who stood up against at least illegal immigration. That was good. There was Jeff Sessions, now Attorney General. There were a few voices, but not enough to do anything meaningful to stop the invasion. And that that was when, under Bush, the Republicans for a while controlled both houses and the presidency. And now under Trump, both houses and the presidency, you can't always blame the Democrats. They signally failed to stand up for the interests of white people. And on another issue, this life-limiting, job-limiting, prospect-limiting, vile, anti-white affirmative action. It's been government, it's been American policy, and now practiced in many corporations as well, for nearly 50 years. I believe that came in the Immigration Act, in the, rather, the Civil Rights Act of 1965. We're now 52 years later. How many young whites, working class whites, failed to get into university because seats had to be set aside for minorities, for blacks particularly? How many failed to get to graduate school or get to a good school, a prestige school, for those reasons? Hundreds of thousands. Well, what about jobs? Young whites who didn't get a job because, well, they had to have a black in there, or didn't get a promotion because, well, actually, we're a little light on black managers, so we'll promote them. And you go back to Jared Taylor's book, Paid with Good Intentions, which is 25 years old, came out in 1992. Already horror stories in there. Major car companies that would basically set a black person up in business as a dealer, helping to finance him, train him, give him special training, special legs up. Wouldn't do that for a white guy. So we have legitimate grievances as white people, as European people. But that's now condemned as racism. Is it to diminish our lives, to take away our lives because of the color of our skin? Oh, that's okay. That's progress. But to object it, well, that's racism. The reaction of many of the Republican heavyweights told you all you had to know about why, even when conservatives were given a majority in all branches of the American electoral government, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they signally failed to do anything because it was not on their agenda. They weren't there to help white people. From a business point, from a strictly greed point of view, many country club Republicans rather like the idea of immigration. You know, it keeps wages down. Screw the unions. I actually was told that by Bill Rusher, who was the longtime publisher of National Review. He retired actually about 25 years ago. But even back then, he liked the idea of Mexican immigration, legal or illegal, it didn't matter. He said, well, we'll gradually become a bit more brown, but you know, those people are pro-life, in other words, anti-abortion. I'm not sure that's even true, but it was, he really chortled at the idea that you know, a constant source of cheap labor would screw the unions. Well, screwing the unions struck me as a particularly evil excuse for betraying your people. This shows a lot of why we are in the situation we are today. So tremendous hats off to those brave white people, 6,000 strong, mostly young, mostly male, who turned up, and it has absolutely rattled the establishment. That's why the near hysterical, almost incoherent denunciations of racism and Trump has to do more. Well, what is Trump to do? And why should he denounce them? Fair enough to denounce violence. Fair enough to denounce the breaking of the law. But why should he denounce any American for expressing his view? That, to me, is really un-American. Well, Trump issued what I might consider a barely acceptable statement on Saturday. It could be, you know, how, depending on how you read it, condemning bigotry, whatever that is. I would say the anti-racists are serious bigots, but on all sides. Okay, fair enough. Well, he was under immense pressure. And unfortunately today, Monday, he buckled. And he specifically denounced the Ku Klux Klan and the neo-Nazis and racism has no part in America. And I thought, you know, but what is racism? You've been denounced as a racist. Is standing up for your own people racist? Well, for radical Zionists and for the white haters, it is. If you stand up for your own people and you're white, you're a racist. In fact, some of the cultural Marxists would insist that only whites can be racist, whatever that is. Trump, in my opinion, is on really dangerous ground. And he is playing their game, and it's feeding the crocodile. You can't win. The crocodile said, but you only gave me a toe. I might leave you alone if you give me a foot. So you give them their foot. Crocodile comes back. Well, that's not enough. I need the lower part of your leg. So you let him bite that off. No, the crocodile will never be fed. And those who hate Trump, the militant white haters, the anti-racists, the deep state, the predator. It's not a further clarification they want. They want him to denounce and separate himself from much of his base. And what? And then they'll support him? Of course not. They want to be rid of him because he has too many ideas that they don't like. I find this retreat very, very unfortunate. But in a way, it tells you the impact those protests had. From now on, politicians are going to have to count on, if you're going to betray white people, if you're going to take down our monuments, then you will pay the price. There will be protests, and we're going to come back, and we're going to start asserting our rights and our interests. We've heard all about one privileged minority after another. The blacks want this, the Jews want that, the LGBT sexually mixed up crowd wants something else. Well, what about us, and what about our needs and our demands? I'm going to play a couple of informed clips by informed people who were there. And here is a report by David.
You got my power now? I have contacts in the NSA that shut your internet down. Good luck getting your broadcast out now, Glenn.
Oh, God. Get out of here. Hey. Get out of here, Herschel.
Hey, man.
Somebody has been physically removed.
Physically remove
Herschel.
Okay,
so we don't need him here.
We can't see the thing from here, but then we can
see
it.
All right, can you see
him? Are we in position, right?
Are we good? Are we good? Good. All right.
This is David Duke.
So, I don't know where we got cut off, but let's recap.
Anyway, well, we got to get to the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the first rally that was had here was totally nonviolent. We expressed our opinion.
100% nonviolent.
Of course, we expressed our opinions that the statue of Robert E. Lee should stand, that our Confederate veterans and our European-American veterans deserve to be honored, like every people honor their ancestors. I mean, Aztec Indians honor, Aztec kings that cut out people's hearts and ate them on top of the pyramids and enslaved thousands of others. It's crazy. But our ancestors actually built civilization. They had honor and courage. And we have a right to preserve our country, and this was a nation. America was built by European Americans.
Yes.
And the Southerners were part of that people. In fact, the ancestors of the South also fought in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, they were all related to the Founding Fathers. I mean,
so we were nonviolent, and there was no violence whatsoever. Some anti-fada found out or whatever. There was very little problems, whatever. And then finally,
there was maybe six. At the rally at Stonewall Jackson Park prior to
we were a bunch of violent people wanting to commit violence, and with all those people you had at the first meeting, I mean, here's a good chance to beat up on some radical.
We had 150 to 6.
We could.
And we didn't touch these people because we were interested in violence.
And we respected their right to protest, right?
Well, I mean, not well, res- I mean,
we respected.
Relatively.
We don't really respect.
We didn't break the law
because they are hypocrites. But we didn't stop them from protesting.
No.
We didn't say they should
be arrested. We simply did our rally and ignored them as best we could.
Now, this rally, the reason why they wanted to shut it down is because so many speakers were coming, and because it was going to become huge, because the truth is, European Americans in this country are beginning to find their feet. They're beginning
this is the beginning.
They're waking up. And part of that was the Trump election.
The Trump election has them very triggered. They're very angry. They're very upset.
And people, we like Trump as a meme. Sometimes they get really upset.
Well, I'm a little pissed at Trump right now, I'm not even Trump.
But the meme of Trump is good, because he started talking about make America great again. Well, you don't make America great again unless you make what great
America
again?
America white again.
unless you make the people who built America great again.
Yes.
You don't make America great again.
Yes.
But anyway, so he came, totally nonviolent. Now it turned out that the murder or the death of one person and 15 others.
Yeah, we don't know exactly the circumstances.
Which media this afternoon was blaming on David Duke and the alt-right. Right? Because I was emboldening the alt-right. Okay, we're gonna quit now. We're almost finished.
Okay.
But we did this rally and we worked very hard on it. Everybody was legal. They put us in this park, we overfilled the park, and they made a choke point.
Yes.
To enter the park. And we literally when we came into the park and there were thousands of people coming. It was about this wide where we could walk.
Yeah, it was like two people, right.
And it wasn't even cordoned off.
No.
I mean, the communists...
No, they didn't even put a police barricade between us and them, and I've never seen that before in anything like this I've done.
And there was no policeman there.
Ten of these this year.
There was being urine thrown on our people. There was rocks. I get hit by a rock, no big deal.
Pepper spray, mace.
I'm used to that.
Even feces, almost. I think some people that feces.
That's one thing, all right person.
We don't do things like that. We don't like these people. We disagree with them. And we will defend ourselves against them if necessary. But we certainly are not going to be throwing bodily waste we are higher class than
these
that.
People are sick.
These people are deranged.
But let me ask you a question. Do you think maybe the part of the reason why they shut this rally down was because, I think maybe just because of Herschel.
Because
when I walked in there, we started again.
Herschel definitely was.
Yeah, I started speaking. We got a great reception, and I began to say we're standing up here for our freedom, our heritage. I told people to be peaceful and everything, and I said, but one great thing about this meeting is the goyim no.
Oh, yes.
Maybe that's why they just couldn't stand it.
I think Herschel was giving orders from behind the scenes to shut it down.
Yeah.
I mean, look, in all seriousness, though, I do think that the city government ordered the police to take certain actions that put our people in danger. One, violated our rights, put our people in danger, and created the violence that we saw. This violence is unnecessary. I have been at several rallies. Last month I was in Washington, D.C. We had about 300 to 400 alt-right activists. We had Antifa activists on the other side of the square in front of Lincoln Memorial. I was in Pikeville in April. We had 300 or so National Socialist activists along with some others, pro-white activists, and then we had many, many Antifa lining the streets as well. The police there were able to barricade the two people who parked. Our free speech rights were protected. We had our rally, went off without a hitch, no violence. No violence. There was not a single person injured in Pikeville, Kentucky in April. And that was considered a big event. A big New York event. Oh my God.
So then
the police, not only did they barricade it off, so they kept the two sides separate. And of course, the Antifa there had every intention of being violent, but all the police had to do was show a little bit of force and protect the rights of citizens, protect property, and protect our constitutional rights, which they did. And good on them. And they even then protected our exit. We had a parking lot in which the police were watching our cars so they weren't vandalized. And then they protected our exit. And that's all went on in Pikeville, Kentucky. And so I did not realize how actually well organized the police in Kentucky had done it until I saw what they did in Charlottesville. And it's either horrifyingly bad organization or deliberate attempt to sabotage our rally. Now, I know which one I suspect that it was, because I think that these organizations know how to do these things and keep them peaceful and keep violence from happening.
That's right. You know, by the way, folks, I finally met a man who can talk as long as I can.
I don't know about that. We could do a contest sometime.
All right, we can. But anyway, and also, so they had to choke point in, our people were, just about half the people coming into the rally were abused, attacked, items were thrown at.
People had horrific.
So they were the ones, it wasn't our people going and throwing those, they were trying to get to the ground. And then, of course, we had a right to the rally. In fact, they canceled the rally, and we went to court, and we had a federal judge rule it, and we were supposed to have a right to have the rally. The first thing they did, even before the allegations of violence or shutting it down, was they wouldn't let us have the microphones.
Yes.
They wouldn't let us have the equipment that we had.
Which is another clue.
Could you
that
imagine?
They were conspiring to do this all right. along. Because we had a right to a PA system.
Yeah.
We had a right to a PA system.
Is it still working? Hey, you're the,
John,
you're the manager.
Yeah, you're good.
Still working.
All right. So we had the right to the PA system. The police were blocking our access to that PA system. Until they found a pretext on which they could shut it down, and then they drove us out of the
park. Now, why do you think that is?
So why would they block our access? We wanted to start speaking right away. We got there. We wanted to get behind the microphone, start speaking to the people.
Why would they not want us to speak
I can't
to
imagine
the country?
I mean, maybe Ursula has an idea.
Ursula, why would they not want us to speak?
Because you're evil white Nazis!
Oh, okay, I got you.
Killed 6 million!
Okay, and that's the same old thing. But here's the point. That they can't afford for us to reach the public, the alt-right, and the people like myself, like
they couldn't afford
like
to have this event.
Richard
go
Spencer
off,
was there. You know, also Jason Kessler did a good job. All these people came in.
Yes.
They cannot afford the truth.
No.
They can't afford people saying, Goyim, it's time to know.
And I think, on top of that, they could not afford the optics, the media, first of all, the large amount of people we had, for this event to have gone off without a problem, would have been a huge blow to them. They saw the numbers that we had, they had to orchestrate a problem, they had to manufacture a problem, because if this went out without any problem, which is completely possible, it's within the logistical power of the police to make sure this event was peaceful and our rights were protected. They could have done it. They were legally obligated to do it. And if they had done it, this would have been a massive blow to the establishment, because we would have had thousands of people at a pro-white rally that was peaceful that went off that hits. That's just not something.
Also, it's not part of their narrative, right?
No, it's not.
They want to say that the people who have these views are just old people. They're just people that are just old-fashioned,
redneck.
But the truth is, the people at this meeting were overwhelmingly young.
Yes.
I was the oldest person, probably in the happened.
Yeah,
to
it's right. Far.
But
well, Sven wasn't here, but yeah.
But what was great was I can't tell you how appreciative I am, because all those young people knew me.
Oh yeah, everybody.
It was amazing. They were very friendly, and they realized what's going on. And it's very gratifying to see the work that I've been doing, the work you're doing, all of us are doing together. Richard Spencer's done a great job too. This work is coming to fruition, and we're going to save this country. And that's what they're desperately trying to shut down. That's why they shut down my YouTube channels and my...
Yeah, that's why we're fighting every minute.
We're fighting every minute in every direction to actually have a right to freedom of speech and freedom of expression.
Assembly is expression.
And the reason why would they do that? If we were so dumb and our arguments were so...
Well, that was David Duke talking about the...
It's out.
We'll be back online later on. More updates will be following.
Yeah.
More updates to come.
I love this. How are we doing on the show?
Great.
Okay.
That was
David. Thanks, everybody.
We're still getting any questions?
There's still shit going
on. Well, we can't really answer the questions.
Right? Stop.
No, we're just... All right. We'll see everybody in a little...
Okay. That was one report. I'll be having some others. I'm going to take a short musical break here, and I think in honor of all those people who came out, who showed such courage and such resolve against the absolutely unmitigated hatred of an evil establishment, why don't we play the official Anthem of the Confederacy, and this is called Dixie. By the Second South Carolina String Band. And that's Dixie, a live performance by the 2nd South Carolina String Band at a reenactment that took place in 2010. Gonna play another tune in honor of all those brave people who turned up and put up with abuse, violence, police chicanery on Saturday in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is what we have to insist that politicians do. And that is, as Merle Haggard says in this song, putting America first. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of America. And that's Merle Haggard and America First. I'm playing one more tune here on our musical interlude, and I think this is a song made famous by Johnny and June Carter Cash in the 1970s. This is Jimmy Fortune, Far Side Banks of Jordan.
My steps are growing wearier each day. Still I've got a journey on my mind. Lures of this old world have ceased to make me want to stay. My one regret is leaving you behind. But I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout. Running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. If it proves to be his will, that I am first across. Somehow I've a feeling it will be. When it comes your time to travel, likewise, don't feel lost. I will be the first one that you'll see, and I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand, and when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. Through this life, we've labored hard to earn our meager fare. It's brought us trembling hands and failing eyes. I'll just rest here on this shore and turn my eyes away. Until you come, then we'll see paradise. But I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And I'll be waiting on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be sitting drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And I'll be running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand.
And that was Jimmy Fortune and Forsyth Banks of Jordan. I'll go take talk about a couple other little things here that's come up over the last couple of days. Oh yes, here we are. Twitter hate becomes call for action. This is in the entertainment section of the Weekend Globe and Mail. And we're informed erroneously. Employees heading to work at Twitter's office in Hamburg last week were greeted by a series of racist, homophobic, and anti-Semitic slurs sprayed in chalk outside their front door. Retweet if you hate Muslims. Well, what's wrong with that, frankly? You know, I mean, I don't think hate's a crime, or it shouldn't be a crime. You can't legislate love. You can legislate expressions of violence against people, of course. Anyway, what other upsetting things are there? The Germany needs a final solution again for Islam, and let's cast some Jews together again. Well, okay, probably not the brightest tweets ever, but the graffiti that appeared on Friday was the work of an Israeli-German artist, Shahak Shapira, who said he took the slurs from hundreds of actual posts he flagged to Twitter over 6 months, only to see a majority of them remain on the platform. I've reported more than 300 tweets to Twitter, Shapira, a 29-year-old artist, said in an online video. For that, I received only 9 answers over the last 6 months, each of them stating that there was no violation of Twitter's rules. You know, what is it about these professional busybodies? They just can't leave other people to express themselves. I mean, why not answer the tweet and say, you know, you're bigoted, or what you say doesn't make any sense, or something like that. Oh, no, no. Shut them down. Close them down. Sure. That is the response usually of Zionists. This is not the first time Shapira, he's an Israeli, I mean, he's a Jew, has sought to draw attention to hateful messages on social media. This year, his YOLO cost, what I'm pronouncing it the way it's written, YOLO, YOLO cost,
project, which combined selfies taken by people at Berlin's Holocaust Memorial with images from National Socialist detention camps, also went viral. I'm not quite sure I even understand what the point is. You mean people shouldn't take a selfie at this, you know, this shrine? It's not showing enough respect? Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people, especially young people, are getting fed up with this new religion. This new religion of control, guilt. You have to take it seriously. Frankly, I have to ask, why must we be ever in awe of something that may or may not have happened over 70 years ago? It's not our people. In terms of Canadians and Americans, it's not our people, not our land. We didn't do it. Weren't there. The mischievous nature of the new religion of Holocaust is that it tries to impose on Europeans, particularly North Americans,
another people's tribal history, and make it our own. And I say, no way, Jose.
Well, this is Paul Froman. You're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. Show's repeated in the morning at 4 in the afternoon, all of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf, forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.